One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command. Logan's family vacay continues. Grant Paulson with you. You can check me out on 106.7 The Fan from 2 to 6.30. Every single day. Of course, you can watch the pod on 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTube channels. And it's a special Take Command because we have with us today a legend, one of the great Redskins of all time, a Super Bowl champion, an MVP in the National Football League, and a former Player of the Year and Man of the Year in the league. Joe Theismann is with us. Joe, so cool to have you on Take Command. Thanks for hopping in.
I appreciate it, Grant. Once again, I'm a backup. You know, I started my career as a backup, and now with Logan on vacation, I guess I'm just a backup again. It's life runs full cycle, though.
Hey, Logan, better help that you're not as good at this as you are after getting your other shot after having been a backup. He might be in trouble, but no, it's great to catch up with you. I always like to tap into both your thoughts on what's going on with the team now and then talk about some of the times when you were playing. So I guess why don't we just start with what a big year this is ahead. It's going to be year three for this regime that proved right away they knew what they were doing, getting to an NFC championship game. Adam Peters, Dan Quinn and company, and Jaden Daniels going into year three. What's your feel about just the overall import of this season as we're now deeper into this outfit 3 years in?
Everything I hear about this particular football team, it has a great energy level, and I think that's part of it. I think chemistry is so very important to the success of any organization, especially a ball club. Jaden coming back healthy is going to be very, very important. Last year was just a tough year all the way around. You know, go 5-12. We're out of a lot of games early. We just couldn't quite get to where we wanted to go. I think there were pieces that were missing, Terry's holdout, and a lot of other different things that happened to this football team. But now I think we're in a really, really good, solid place. Had, I think, a good draft, signed some really good free agents. I know Jaden's going to come back with a vengeance to prove that last year was just one of those things that happened. And I'm looking for him to have a terrific career going forward. I think it's going to be different. It's going to be challenging. I mean, all you need to do is take a look at the first three games. You know, you go Eagles, Cowboys, Seattle. We're going to find out exactly who we are in a hurry. Not that everybody says, well, you know, it's only one game here. We'll get no. I think for us, it's very important that we get out and set the tone because they're on the road. Two of them are on the road.
Yeah, I want to get into that schedule in a moment. And Jaden, you said something that interests me, though. You talked about the chemistry. It does feel like, you know, they use the word brotherhood in the building a lot. Yeah. It does feel like that's an authentic thing that Dan Quinn has really tried to cultivate. And I'm, you know, from a bigger picture point, I wonder, you were talking, you know, not just football, but organizationally, all types of businesses. Is that more of a GM thing or a coach thing, do you think? The chemistry in terms of player selection, where these guys will fit together and I've got to evaluate that? Or is that up to Dan when everybody gets in the building? Because that seems to be his secret sauce, maybe.
I think it's both. I think, you know, Adam's done, I think, an excellent job finding people that fit the character of this football team. You want character guys. You need guys that, you know, will be there. I remember asking Joe Gibbs, what does he look for in a championship player? He says, character, intelligence, and ability. I said, Joe, everybody wants those three things. He says, no, that's the order in which I look for people to add to this football team. Character first, because we're going to go through some tough times. We need guys to be there. Intelligence. I mean, you take a look at the size of the game plans and you look at the wristbands of the players. I mean, I laugh about that Dan Marino commercial when he has to put his glasses on to look at his wristband. But it's true. The game plans are so expansive. So it's character, intelligence. And then, oh, by the way, how fast are you? How strong are you? What's your 40 time? All those different things come in. And I think Dan's built this football team this way with the help of Adam. The two of them work in lockstep together. And I think that's what you have to have. That's why so many coaches want control of who's on their team. I think in our case, we have a great position with two guys that really understand what one needs and what the other one's looking for. And so I would say it would be very difficult to choose one over the other when it comes to the chemistry of this football team.
Joe Theismann, Grant Paulson, Take Command. On the intelligence part, thinking about the wristband, how much has the verbiage and the length of play calls and the complexity of even offensive, offensive design changed since you played? Or were all of those things true when you played to the same extent?
Some places were, like San Francisco, the way Bill Walsh put it in offense. A lot of the terminology is still used today. It's a very expansive offense. Like, for example, our offense was based on numbers. Most of the other West Coast offenses were based on verbiage, numbers, and signs. And so just real simple, I'll give you a play. We'd go trips right, which is a formation they use today. It means you got one receiver to the left, tight end to the right, and two receivers to the right, and one running back in the backfield. So you've got, that's trips right. And you go 989 Y cross sneak. And what you used to do is we number our routes 0 through 9. 0 was a hitch. 1 was a 0, 1 were hitches. 2 was a quick post. 3 was a 10 yard out. 4 was a curl. 5 was a deeper out. 6 was a deeper curl. 7 was a corner. 8 was a post. And 9 was a go. And the way it was designated for us, which made it really, if somebody came into our organization, you could catch on to our plays in one practice. All you needed to do was know where you lined up. And the way we started the call of our plays, 989 Y cross sneak, 9 would be the single receiver side. That's the first digit. The second digit would be the inside receiver. The third digit would be the outside receiver to the two receiver side. And then you tell everybody else what to do. Y cross sneak. So you're telling the tight end to cross. You're telling the back to sneak out. And that's how simple it was. And we use signals to get in. I've not worn a helmet. I've been meaning to do this. I've talked to Dan about having the chance to do it. I'd like to hear what it sounds like when the communications come in from the sidelines now with the headsets the way they are inside the helmets. The other thing, too, that scares me a little bit about the development of young players today is when you have a headset, it only cuts off with 15 seconds to go. So the coach can talk to you up until 15 seconds. Ours was a quick signal, and you basically called the play. And you had time. I had time to turn to Art Monk and say, listen, Art, if we got a three route, okay, we got an out. If he sits outside, just plant your foot and go up. I'll throw it up the field. I don't know how players can communicate with other players in the huddle when they're staring down at their wristband and just regurgitating what they heard in their ears. I think it takes away an element of communication inside the huddle that we had before.
Was the play clock 40 seconds then as well?
I think it was, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was.
And how did they signal the
play? I'd wind up with about 15, I'd wind up with about 25 seconds to do my thing.
just to do what you want at the line. How did how did they signal in the plays? Was that actual like hand signals or
body signals like nine with nine, eight, seven, six, you know, through the body.
It's almost like a baseball coach.
It's exactly what it was. Yeah. Don Bro is our signal guy. And they allowed us to sit and sort of design our own signals too. And Bro was unbelievable. I mean, he'd stand right next to Joe and you'd see him doing all kinds of things. And I laugh sometimes when I think about, you know, some of the.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Particular descriptive ways that we came up with stuff that he wouldn't do.
How would you combat, or maybe you didn't have to, but if someone was doing that today, you're having cameras trained on you and everybody's seeing it constantly and everyone would know your signals. I'm thinking like Belichick, Spygate, that kind of stuff. Did you change them week to week, or was that really not something you had to worry about?
We added and deleted certain things. You go in with a foundation, say, okay, I'm going to give you three early signals, ignore them. Then they take the next ones, or we'll get the first. I mean, there's always ways to get around. See, if defensive coaches wanted to try and steal signals, all you need to do is throw one curve at them, GP, just one curve. And all of a sudden they're going to say, this, forget it. We're just going to run our defense. We're not going to try and figure out what they're doing. So all you need to do is throw one little monkey into the wrench there, monkey wrench in, and it's party over.
Because now they guess wrong and they're going, this is hurting us more than it's helping us. We'd rather not know. That makes a lot of sense. Joe Theismann filling in for Logan Paulson. So back to this group this year, I want to talk about Jaden with you. I'm sure you spent some time. Everybody who knows him personally talks about his humility, the work habits, and what I get to see from farther away and then even at the facility, his interactions with people. He just seems very much authentic and a worker. The stuff that, like, when you evaluate him from the outside, you're not on the inside of the building, you don't know. You don't get to sit down with him, talk to him, make sure this guy's going to be first in, last out. What have you made of him so far in those ways?
He is exactly what he was when he set foot in that building. He's humble. He's hardworking. He wants to be great. He doesn't want to be good. He doesn't want to be a good quarterback. He wants to be great. And he puts the time in to do that. And he has wonderful interaction. You know, you walk through a locker room and you see the interaction with the other players. You know, that the locker room is a very sacred place, a very unique place where you build relationships. That's why coaches spend so much time figuring out where they're going to put the players. You don't want to put a bunch of rookies together. You want to put them with some veterans. You want somebody who can influence them in a very positive way. And Jaden's one of those guys that just, you know, his smile is just lights up a room. He's unflappable when it comes to being able to be in a big moment. We've seen that. You make a list of the things that you want to see in a quarterback, a championship quarterback, a guy of a high level, and he checks every box as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, physically too, on the field, the accuracy, the touch, some of what he displayed, particularly in his rookie year, because there were a lot of injuries last year. He only had four games he started and finished, and I didn't realize this until we were talking to someone recently. There are only two times where he would, you know, back-to-back weeks get his work in during the week and play in that game. It's really hard to sustain when that's the case.
Do you worry
at all about durability with him, or do you think last year was kind of fluky?
I think last year was a bit fluky, to be honest with you. A lot of guys go through things early in their career, and then they sort of find their way, how to protect themselves. That's the biggest thing with him. Because he was asked to run so much, he puts himself in harm's way quite a bit. I don't think it's going to happen as much this year. I think he's going to work under center a little bit more, which will be great for him. It'll be great for our running game. It'll be great for the pass protection. He can get the ball out of his hands with one quick look. He doesn't have to hold on to it. It's going to be hard to have free runners all the time when you're not in the shotgun all the time. I think David Blau's offense is really going to be good for Jaden Daniels. The other thing, too, and remember, he didn't play the last month of the season, but he spent a lot of time with Coach Blau, spent a lot of time on another field working on what they were going to prepare to do this year in some way, shape, or form. I think whether Cliff was here or not, they were preparing him for a different style of offense, which I think will be extremely effective. Patrick Mahomes under center more. We see Jared Goff under center more. See a lot of guys going under center. Caleb Williams under center a bit more. It's the play action is so much easier when you're under center. And then your drops, the protection, all of those things work together. And I think that's going to be a big part of what we're going to do offensively.
And one of the things I had not considered that you just said is the offense actually could lead to fewer rushing attempts from him. Not because they're going to ask him to run on design runs less. That's probably true, too. And that's obvious. But the ball comes out faster.
Absolutely.
And a lot of those scrambles come from things breaking down or him holding the ball and now something leaks at the line of scrimmage and you kind of run out the other side or whatever. It, in theory, if things go as planned, this is very much a, you know, pre-snap, make your decision. We know where the ball is going and the time to throw should be lessened. So maybe there will be less scrambles, like the non-design runs as well.
But yeah, obviously the protection up front is going to dictate a lot of that. And I think our guys have been pretty good. The one thing I've noticed over the last couple of years is we don't talk about the offensive line, which is great for them. Because no holding penalties, no offsides. Our guys have been very disciplined. And when you're not talking about an offensive line in a negative way, that's a positive thing for the offense. And like I said, when you run play action, it causes people just to hesitate for a split second. And that's all you really need to get the ball out of your hands. And again, it's not a system he's unfamiliar with. So this is the year that I think things will happen. I've always believed this. The first year, I don't care who you are, you learn how to be a pro. You learn how to take care of your body. You learn how to get your rest. You learn your study habits, and you're learning the offense. The second year, you study what people are trying to do against you, particularly as an individual. Not necessarily conceptually as an offense, but you study yourself. You say, okay, what did they try to do to me? The third year, it all should come together. That's why, you know, I'm still a big proponent of guys sitting and watching for a little while. I wouldn't want to do it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I still think it doesn't hurt to take the time. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers. You know, we've seen it with Colin Kaepernick. We've seen it with different individuals that have sat a little bit and waited for their opportunity. And I think they're more prepared in a lot of different ways to be able to step in and do the job they need to do.
I want to get back to that with Joe Theismann in a moment. Going back to being under center, I've always been a proponent of it for a couple of reasons. Namely, when I was covering the beat daily, Kyle Shanahan was calling plays for Mike, and that was kind of still the way I see offense was what I learned from a lot of those guys that were here.
Right.
Like McVay, LaFleur, those guys. But for me specifically, you marry run and pass easier, I think, when you're under center.
Yeah.
And just talking to defensive players, they don't like under center as much because they feel like less is dictated in terms of directional runs. So that's why pistol has become in vogue, I think, because you're not tipping. But if you're in the shotgun on the right, you're probably running left and vice versa. I mean, for you, you guys used to combat the thing that a lot of quarterbacks don't like. Caleb Williams last year complained when he got under center with Ben Johnson. There was that split second, half second, where your back is to the defense, and now you got to whip back around and see what's changed. Because everyone's now, you know, in the safety position, they're flipping formations or they're doing things, and maybe they're confusing you. You guys, I feel like, used to just drop straight, like looking forward the whole time, rather than the play action, like stretch that you see Peyton Manning and these guys do. When did that change?
I probably with Peyton a lot. I think, you know, you go back, you know, 10, 15 years, longer maybe. The thing about turning your back is there's a moment of deception where the defense doesn't know where the ball is. So even though you've turned your back, you've bought yourself a little bit more time. Plus, most of the routes that are run under from play action are designed for half the football field. They're not designed basically to scan from receiver one to receiver two to receiver three. You know where your outlets are if you need to go somewhere, but you get it out of your hands quicker. Your decisions are quicker. It also gets the defenders into a drop. And, you know, you sit and study film and you see where they're going to be. And throwing a football, JP, is all about getting the ball out of your hands and anticipating where the receiver is going to be. You anticipate the hole that they're going to be in. Now, today, you have a lot of 50-50 balls, which I'm not a big fan of. I still think throwing to open receivers is a unique thing and something that, you know, I think most quarterbacks would like. But you're still going to have these guys that just go up with 50-50 balls. Doesn't matter whether you turn your back or not. If you're taking a shot, you're taking a shot. But you have to find the safety, and it does give you enough time to be able to identify if that's where you want to go or you want to drop it down a little bit.
Who would have been? Most of the highlights I play in my head from you, you're throwing deep to someone who's open on a post, or, you know, it's Monk, as you said, working in the middle, and you guys have schemed him free with the number system. Like, were 50-50 balls a thing, or was there someone you would ever lob it up to and say, go get it?
Probably only on fades down around the goal line. You know, that would be the only time you put it up high enough. Maybe Art could go up and get it, possibly Charlie. But if you look at a lot of the throws that I've made, you know, the two in the Super Bowl, one to Charlie, one to Alvin, you know, they beat the defenders. You know, when you're down around the goal line, it's the receiver's job to beat the defender at the line of scrimmage and give me a place to throw the football, usually high and outside or lofted outside. But, I wasn't a big 50-50 guy. When we put in the two tight end offense, it changed everything. We made free safeties come and support run. We made strong safeties go into coverage. So we would run our, you know, Charlie series, Charlie 10, Charlie 30, Charlie 50, and then run a post in behind them. So it wasn't a question of 50-50s back then. Same thing with all in balls. When we run our four routes, you're throwing into a hole. You're anticipating where that's going to be. You control the underneath coverage with your backs, and then you work your receiver or tight ends in behind it. But I wasn't a big fan of throwing it where somebody was covered. I mean,
when you mentioned the two tight ends, I mean, how prevalent was that? Because now 12 personnel with the two tight ends, or even 13 with the three, it's kind of in vogue. We saw the Rams go crazy heavy with 13 personnel last year. Was Walsh first to do that, or when did you guys mix that in, the two tight ends?
That was Don Coryell, I believe. When okay. Joe Gibbs was, Gibbs when he was Joe in Gibbs the was, yeah, Coryell. Bill Walsh was the Kyle Shanahans and the Matt LaFleurs. That's the West Coast offense.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Walsh was the West Coast guy. And as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, he asked Joe Montana if he wanted to go to the shotgun, and Joe said no. Joe wanted to work under center. Coach Gibbs wouldn't let me work in the shotgun. As a matter of fact, it's really funny. When you got a back like John Riggins, if you go to the shotgun, you're taking away John's effectiveness. You're basically limiting the things that you can do with him. So I remember we were playing the Raiders. We finally put the shotgun in training camp in 1985. We're out playing the Raiders in the Coliseum. They're in Los Angeles. Ball gets snapped over my head on third down. I recover it. We punt. I walk to the sidelines, and Joe says, no more shotgun. I said, Coach, he goes, eh. He always used to do that to me and tell me to shut. I go, eh, no more shotgun. That was the end of my shotgun experience. But come to find out that Joe Bugle, God bless him, God rest him, he got in Coach Gibbs's ear. And he said, you know, we just don't look very good in a shotgun. John doesn't look very good just standing back there with nothing to do. And we had this conversation. Like, yeah. So he basically talked Coach out of the shotgun. And other than, you know, one preseason game or two preseason games, and it was one game against the Bears where I got beat up so bad we went to the gun. It was like end of 84. I mean, I just got the Cardinals pummeled me. Cowboys pummeled me. And then the Bears did pretty much the same thing in that set. But that's the only time I've ever been in the gun. It, for somebody that moves, you love it because you can always make somebody miss and you can always identify free runners quickly. But I think from an offensive concept, to be under center, you have so many more ways to disguise the things you want to do, both running and throwing the football. And it gives you, I think, a distinct advantage.
Joe Theismann, former MVP, of course, led the league in yards per attempt in many categories in a 14-win season where he won that award, a Super Bowl champion. I want to talk about your career, even after football, and all the things that you did in the game as we continue on Take Command.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.